I'm Brianna McHenry.
And I'm Stephanie Della Porta, and we are your guides for the When in Bloom podcast.
Join us weekly as we include tips, tricks, and alignment tools that support us on our personal journeys,
bringing you back to the knowing that you have all that you need within you to bloom.
Hello, everyone. Real quick, feeling so excited because I just pressed play to record and it was at 33 seconds. And as Steph and I were talking about, I believe it was the last episode where we just like find magic throughout our life. We were really talking about how we are seeing angel numbers everywhere. So I thought that was so magical. So today it's just me here, Brianna. I also call myself Brenna, so my nickname's Brenna. So sometimes if I refer to myself, I refer to myself as Brenna. So that way you won't get too confused as to who it is that I'm talking about. Steph is on her way to the west coast of Canada. And oh, it's just so exciting. And I know that she's having such a magical time and she's already just receiving so much information that I'm so excited for her to come on and share with us. I wanted to guide everyone kind of through the grounding meditation that I do before every time we record or before every time I do like a reading or really any type of this work where I'm just kind of allowing myself to be the conduit for source and getting out of the way. So if you are driving or doing something where you can't stop and close your eyes, just set the intention to receive this like while driving or while doing something, because we want to stay safe in whatever it is that we're doing and where we are. All right, so if you are in a safe position to close your eyes, I invite you to close your eyes with me. And then we'll bring our breath back to our heart space. And we'll just take some deep breaths in and out of our heart. And dropping us into the body. And quieting that egoic mind. And softening our thoughts. And feeling this heart space love energy that we've been breathing into and begin filling it throughout our entire bodies. And then we'll have this energy expand out through our physical bodies and out within our energetic field. And you can make this go as big as you'd like. You can fill the room that you're in. You can fill the home that you're in, your town. And bringing this energy and sending it down to the center of the earth, really grounding us with Mama Gaia. And intertwining with the crystalline center that is the core of the earth. And intertwining our energies with these stalactites. With these crystals. And bringing this energy, grounding frequency back up all the way up through the earth. And bringing it back up into our bodies. And today I would like to set the intention for myself to just fully get out of the way and share my story and share my experience with you in hopes that it resonates with you and that you feel a little less alone if you were feeling alone before. And ultimately, I'm stepping into this space for a place of my soul's eternal growth. And I welcome you as well to acknowledge that you also are stepping into this space for your soul to eternally grow. And we can just imagine a divine white light waterfall pouring over us, and it can be speckled with whatever color it is that we feel we need today. Because remember, our colors hold frequencies. And different days, we need different frequencies, or we need more of others. Some days we lack certain ones. And you can bring your breath back to the body and begin to wiggle your toes, move your head, roll your shoulders, your body. And you can open your eyes when you are ready. Thank you so much for creating this space with me. As you probably know by now, if you've been listening to our podcast, time is not real. And I really feel like so fully supported by all of you who are listening to this. It's like we're really all bringing our energy and putting our energy together. Wow. That was so beautiful. So I want to be really transparent with you today in this episode. I am running on little to no sleep. We're trying to figure out new nap schedules or sleep schedules, I guess. Children are so interesting in just that they really force you to surrender to absolutely everything. We've been really struggling with sleep for this whole summer. So the past, 3 months? And it's funny because I realize at this time last year, we did the same thing. And it's coming to mind, like, of what cyclical beings we are. Like, my daughter loves to, like, sleep and rise with the sun and the moon. I remember her being a few days old and wanting her to go to bed, but, like, waiting for the sun to set, because she really has always been so in tune with the sun and the moon. And for me, it's a bit of a struggle because I love my 8 p.m. bedtime. Like, I want to be in bed by 8 o'clock, journaling, meditating, like having my tea, winding down, and then I'm usually asleep by 10. And I haven't been able to do that in a very long time. So I've been sleeping in later. Like today, I woke up, I think I got out of bed at like 9. And my favorite time to get out of bed is 5 a.m. But I've been really struggling with that because we've been staying up late with our little one, and I haven't really been sleeping that much during the actual night. So if anyone has any recommendations for me sleeping and anything that can help me kind of feel a little bit more rested, I would really love it. And it's so funny because as I'm offering up this question, I'm hearing chaga, chaga, that mushroom, which I don't know anything about, but I wonder if it has anything to do with sleep. So I'm gonna look up that mushroom, and then I guess I'll look up some adaptogens too, if there's any good ones for sleep. I'm sure there are, and I know that Steph knows if there are, so hopefully, Steph, I remember to ask you too. And so I'm sitting here with my oat milk mocha latte and my big mason jar full of ice water, and I honestly feel so full to be finally sharing this story and this experience with you. And this is like my dream, like drinking a latte with, like, I don't know, I'm just so excited. My water is so beautiful. And today I really want to talk to you about my awakening and my experience with everything, because my story is unique, but I know I'm not the only one who has this story. And I'm hoping within sharing my story, it resonates with some of you, and you kind of step into this knowing and this power that you really aren't alone. And now as an adult, you're not crazy. Like, you're not. You know what's up. And it's hard to move around the world and navigate the world when you know it's bigger and than what we've kind of perceived it to be and what we've made it out to be. And so with that, here is my story of awakening, my awakening, I call it, my spiritual journey, which really started when I was born. Like, I can't talk about my spiritual awakening without talking about my childhood, because it was so prominent into who I am now. And it's also really prominent for me in allowing me to trust myself now as an adult, because as a child, I had these same thoughts, same experiences, the same beliefs, same thinking. And now I am like, I'm trusting it, because it's like, yeah, when I was 3 years old, I knew that. And now I'm getting the same messages. And I really am remembering my childhood by doing a lot of the subconscious belief work, which is so beautiful. And it's just amazing. Anyway, I digress. So my spiritual awakening started when I was born. I really came into this world, like knowing everything. Like, I knew the bigger picture of life. And I just also knew how to do things. I remember being confused as to why certain people were mean sometimes, or confused as to why we were eating meat. Because I, now as an adult, I love eating plant-based. Like, that is my jam. I feel the best, like 100% the best, when I am fully stepping into like my connection and my relationship with the earth, plant-wise. Like, I love it. And as a kid, I was calling for that, but I didn't have parents who, they didn't have the tools to eat plant-based, or even eat allow me to eat vegetarian. They just didn't really know that, which is fine. And I hold no judgments or anything towards them. I know that it was part of my spiritual journey that I'm on. But I really knew how to do everything. I remember being like 6 or 7 years old and making baskets. Like, I remember taking bark off of trees and with that bark creating baskets. And as I'm reading Braiding Sweetgrass, there's a chapter all about basket weaving. And it's like such a resonance to me, because I knew how to do that as a child intuitively. And I remember being so obsessed with the stars. My dad got me a telescope and we would learn all the planets. And I remember as a child, even like, I'm seeing it looked like this big flash of red light in the sky. And now I'm wondering, like, if I was seeing light beings or I'm sure it was some sort of energetic thing that was going on. I grew up on an old farm, and so the energy around it was very intense. So I could feel a lot of energy, and I was scared of it. It's not that I was scared of it, it's that I didn't know what it was. So me being a little girl, I took that feeling and I turned it into scared. So I took all of these unknowns and I created beliefs around them. And that's something that I really worked through as I stepped into my psychic abilities, is moving through these childhood fears that I created. I was always scared to connect, and it's because as a child I was intuitively connecting, or unconsciously connecting. Children are just always so connected, let's be real. And it scared me. And the reason why it scared me was like watching TV shows. So I put like monsters on it. So when I was older and I would start connecting, and I would feel like how I felt as a little kid, not knowing that like I'm literally just tapping into energy, and the energy that I'm tapping into is something beautiful. But as a child, I didn't know that, because we're really taught that the unknown is scary. And so I grew up this really amazing, just attached to nature childhood. Like, I remember, like, talking to the wind. I had animals all around me, and I remember talking to them, like, having full-on conversations with them. Like, I was always earthing. I grew up always barefoot, never wore shoes ever, and I'm still the same way now, climbing trees. I was always outside, even when it was, like, really, really cold or really, really hot, or when it was raining. Like, I was outside every single day, no matter what, and I really was just connecting to nature and the elements and everything that was going on around me, and I'm so grateful for that experience. And as I got into high school and college, I kind of got self-conscious with the fact that I was different. And so I got really good at, like, ignoring it. And it's so funny, I just cleared my throat, and it's basically saying I got really good at ignoring it and staying quiet. So I got really good at softening who I was and who I am as a soul to kind of please others. So I really have been really quiet my whole life, and I never really spoke. And they're basically saying it was always just to please others and to fit in and to not be so different, because I definitely was the different one in my family. And I still am. However, now I, like, totally embrace it. I love being different, and I love having this different perspective from everyone around me. So ignored it all throughout high school. And then a little bit, I tried to in college. I went to college for dance, and I had modern like twice a week or something, or maybe even more. But in my modern classes, the first hour of class was meditating. And then we would take that meditation and do it in, like, through moving meditations. And so through meditating and really connecting with my inner world, it kind of started sparking things again. And I started having more experiences with these energies. But I also didn't know what they were, and I was programmed to be scared of them. And I was really stepping into it when, during this part of my awakening, I was really into, like, ghost hunting, because this is when ghost shows were getting really popular. And I lived, like, grew up in a town that was, like, full of these historically haunted buildings, and we were all for it. So I was really into that. And then things started opening up, and I would hear people call my name. I would be at the store, and I would hear someone say my name, and no one would be near me. Or I would be driving, and I would hear someone say hi to me, and, like, no one would be there. I would be in my car by myself. And it's funny how that happened, that is what happened around, like, a little over 10 years ago, because now as I start really honing in on my psychic abilities, I am incredibly clairaudient. So I hear most of the messages. Like, that's probably right now is the number one way I receive messages, is clairaudiently. So that's why when we're talking, I'll be like, oh, I just heard this. That's how they come in. And that's what was kind of trying to get my attention as a child, or as, like, a young adult. And then I just turned it off again. I stopped dancing for myself, and I started just really teaching and working as a dance teacher. And I totally turned it off. I took something that was, like, a passion and turned it into not even a career. Like, I took a passion and I turned it into a chore. And I have been, and yeah, and I think that's a really important part of my story, is how much I was really connected to dance and moving my body to kind of move energy around. So I live and grew up, like, an hour outside of Boston. And I was really feeling stagnant in my life here, being a 21-year-old dance teacher, like a limited dance teacher. Now I see how much I could have changed when I was that age, but it's all part of the process and all part of the experience. So I moved to California to really pursue dance as a career and for myself. And I was in California for about 6 months, and I started just dancing and putting myself out there as a dancer. And then I got into a car accident, and I wasn't able to dance for about 6 months, like, at all. Hold on. I'm having trouble in my throat, so I feel like they want me to say something. They're basically saying, if you feel called to say something, say it. I don't know if that's a message for me or for you listening. So if that resonates with you, if you feel called to say something, please say something. And it feels like it pertains to your career. So if you feel like you're at a crossroads in your career, or you feel like you're being not respected or not treated properly, say something. Speak up for yourself. It's okay. It's totally okay. And you speaking up, whatever happens is, like, meant to happen. It could be the catalyst. It probably will be the catalyst for some huge, amazing growth. All right, so I hope getting that message out will stop me from having to clear my throat every, like, 30 seconds, because it's a lot of editing. So in California, I found that my passion lied in teaching dance and not really being a professional dancer. So I spent a couple years in California, and then I moved back to the East Coast, and I created my own dance studio, like my own business here, because I really wanted to do something different and do something that was, like, gonna better the world. And I believed that I was going to better the world through bettering children. Like, I literally was holding a belief that I'm going to change the world through teaching, like, through as being a dance teacher. I was going to change the world through being there for the children that in my life that I could be. Because I felt like I wanted to be the dance teacher that, like, no one was for me. So I started this really amazing company that was all dance, like a dance studio that was all about community and going into rec centers and going into libraries. And it was just, I was just trying to make this movement accessible to everyone in whatever capacity that they wanted it. And when I was in California, one of my really good friends would literally drag me to yoga. And I'm so forever grateful for that. But when I moved back, it was really important for me to keep doing yoga. And I started doing yoga at a local studio here. And I was literally doing yoga every single day. Literally, I would wake up at 5 a.m. and I would go to yoga. And the days that I didn't wake up at 5 a.m., I would do yoga at night. Again, it's through moving my body is when I started getting all of these messages returning, which is so amazing because I'm feeling called to start moving my body again and start taking adult dance classes for myself. And I love how, in sharing this story with you, I am myself getting a message. And it's funny because yoga, again, is something where I remember finishing a yoga class and wanting to eat, and all I wanted was, like, a really big salad. And normally I would put chicken on a salad, but I was like, one of the, like, teachings in yoga is do no harm. And I, at the time, I was really taking it seriously. So I was like, how can I do no harm if I'm putting chicken on my salad? And I hold absolutely no judgment for how anyone eats in any capacity. And then there lied my connection with food too. Again, as a child, I thought, why am I eating meat? And then here I am as a 26-year-old saying, well, why am I eating meat? And now here I am again as a 30-year-old asking, well, why am I eating meat? So it's just interesting how that all, it comes to play. You have these things that come up to you and show you, like, hey, I'm a message. Like, you should do something about this. And then when you don't do something about it, it's like, okay, well, I'm just gonna pop up again later. And so that's exactly what this message for me is. So I started finding my spirituality through yoga, and I became pretty obsessed with it. and I started learning astrology. And for those of you who know astrology, my sun is Pisces, my moon is Leo, and my rising is Scorpio. So it's quite the interesting chart for sure. So my big breakthrough, like no more fighting this spiritual awakening, happened in 2018. My partner and I just got engaged and we started setting up boundaries, and we had a lot of people negatively react to our boundaries. And I had to learn how to deal and like cope with a lot of people not liking me or not liking certain things about me, that people that I thought I was really close with. And it kind of opened my eyes to everything and like, well, why is all of this happening and what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? And that led, I don't even know where that led me, but I was spending a lot of time studying astrology then and meditating too, and also just really trying to connect with my intuition. And my partner had a friend pass away, and for the longest time, like since he passed away, he came to me in a dream, which is pretty typical for when like friends of friends pass away, that they usually will come to me in a dream. I kind of ignored it at the time, and then from kind of that point on, I didn't realize it, but I always had a ghost in my house. In the new apartment that we moved to after, there was like this one spot, and I was like, yeah, there's just a ghost that lives in the hallway and in the dining room. And oh my god, and he is here right now. Oh my god, and this message he wants to share with everyone. This is amazing. He's saying to not take the human experience for granted. So really, like, appreciate the sunsets and the sunrises and nature and the rain and every aspect that we have on this planet. The ability to have physical touch, like that. Like emotional connection, but like, yeah, like emotional connection, because we have like a soul connection, but he's saying that this emotional and soul connection is different. And it's so beautiful. And he sees the people in his life that he had like emotional and spiritual or emotional and soul ties and connections with, like he still, those never go away. You, when someone passes, the ties and cords that you have with them, They don't go away. They're still there and they're still a part of your incarnation. They just, you can't see them and it's not as easy to access them. Oh my god. That was so beautiful. Thank you. Oh. And okay. So I thought that my apartment was haunted, which is fine. No big deal. I loved ghosts at the time. Not scared of ghosts at all, and I really haven't been. And now I actually don't really believe in ghosts, which is interesting. But I felt like I was holding on to someone's energy that wasn't mine. And I spoke to a woman who basically tapped into his energy, and I figured out who it was. And so I went to my friend, who is like a really gifted and really beautiful and amazing medium, and she relayed the message around him and why he was coming up and what I could do to kind of help that situation. And it's funny, I want to make note that not a single thing in the reading was for me. Okay, like it was a reading about this person and my partner, and like those were the messages that were coming through. Nothing came through for, like one or two things came through for me, and I feel like she really had to dig and search for them, which is beautiful. But I left the reading and I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm fed up. How do I do this? Like, I want someone to come to me and I want to be able to solve their problems. I want to be able to connect and be like, okay, let's do something. And it's like, I set that intention with her. I cleared a lot of energy from the people that decided they didn't really want me for me in their life anymore. Like, I really just stepped into, like, this is me and this is who I am and I'm not swaying from it. And then I really set that intention of, okay, I want to be a psychic. I've wanted to be a psychic my whole entire life. So I'm going to do it. But I just set that intention at the end of that reading. And then like 2 or 3 days later, I became pregnant with my now daughter. And I wanted to share that experience with you because it was like the soul of my daughter was waiting to come in until the energy of my life really was able to like fit her, like her energy. And they're saying like, you have to clear out that energy. And sometimes that energy is from people doing you wrong and you have to clear it out. And they're basically saying that she was waiting for me to be at that certain vibration for her soul to come in. And I knew I was pregnant like immediately, like instantly. I knew that I was pregnant. And I guess I knew I was pregnant even before I was pregnant. And then within like a month or two, I knew the gender because I used to talk to my daughter when I was pregnant and I knew exactly who she was and I knew her personality and I knew that she was so excited to step into this incarnation and into this job as like our teacher for me and my partner because she really is and has been our greatest teacher. And when you're pregnant, it's almost like the veil is thin or it lifts because you are holding a soul within your body. So you are holding a part of your unborn child is still in that etheric, is still so easily in that etheric realm. So you're holding that within you. So it's a little easier to tap into that. And that's why you'll hear pregnant people talking about having the craziest dreams, or I know like we've mentioned before, mother's intuition. It's because you have that like vibration within you. And even you can tell pregnant people feel like lighter almost, like they're like vibrationally, energetically, they feel like lighter. They're not so dense and weighed down by little things. So I spent really my whole pregnancy connecting with the soul of my unborn baby. And I read this one book. It's called Spirit Babies. I'm not sure who it's by, but I will absolutely put it in the show notes because it's such a beautiful book, Spirit Babies. I'm taking a note of it because it's so, so beautiful. And it really talks about all aspects of connecting with your spirit babies and your unborn children. And I recommend anyone to read it. So especially if you are a woman and you're unsure of if you want children, or if you're a woman and you're like, I know I don't want children, because it gives you a space to connect with a soul that might be there that's like wanting to come in as a child, as your child, but you have free will. So you are capable of saying, you know what? I don't think I want that for this incarnation. And that's completely fine. You can absolutely 100% do that. I've done that before. I don't think we're gonna have another child, and I think the idea of having another child is great, and society would love it, but for us, it's not right. So I've had a conversation with my spirit baby, a baby that was looking to come in. And I was like, I don't think we can do it this time around, but maybe next time. So throughout my pregnancy, I was really working through a lot of doctor trauma that I've had within my whole life, which is kind of funny that it's coming up now. So I had a doula and we were doing hypnobirthing, which really is like you hypnotize yourself while you are in labor. And it kind of takes you out of the body, so you're not experiencing these physical ailments of labor. And this part right here is the opening to my subconscious and like limiting belief works. Because we as a society hold a belief that labor and giving birth to a child is painful. Yet there are some tribes, they don't know that childbirth is painful because no one gave that belief, put that belief onto them. And that stems from the Bible. They said that God made childbirth painful because Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. So it was like man's punishment for disobeying God's order is to make childbirth painful for women. And that's really a belief that I worked with heavily a lot with my doula, and even we worked on some hypnosis for other limiting beliefs that I was holding around it, or even fears that I was holding around it. And now I'm seeing that's what I was doing. I was doing belief work with my doula through hypnosis, and that was life-changing. So if you're pregnant or plan on getting pregnant or think about getting pregnant, this belief work or any like hypnosis around beliefs that you're holding on to is really powerful. With my daughter is when I really started bringing up the telepathy, because you have a new baby, they can't talk to you, but you're like, what's wrong? And I learned how to telepathically communicate with her that way. And so I could get her needs. I could give her what she needed without her verbally communicating to me. And so I mentioned this whole pregnancy part and being a parent part, because for me, it's a huge part of the spiritual journey, because my daughter triggers me every single day. And I have to sit there and say, why am I being triggered by this? What's happening? And then I have to clear and release it so it doesn't happen anymore. And so I can move through my life and be a better mom and be more present for my daughter. So when you first, so newborns sleep a lot. My newborn anyway, slept a lot, like to the point of I was like bored. I was like, I don't know what to do with my life. Like, I don't know what to do during the day. Because she was just always sleeping. And that kind of jump started I with all of this extra time, because I wasn't working. I still had my dance business, but I wasn't going in and teaching classes. I was just working from home as I was navigating life as a new mom. So I had all of this free time because my daughter was always sleeping, it felt like. And that's when I really stepped into spirituality. But I'm realizing that as I stepped into spirituality, I was stepping into it, but I was stepping into it externally. So I wasn't thinking, I was always grabbing for someone or something that was going to open me up spiritually. I did Reiki because I thought Reiki is going to get me psychic, like this energetic shift is gonna like open me up and bam, I'm gonna be psychic the next day. I'm going to take this intuitive course that is like a day long workshop because bam, I'm gonna be psychic. I wasn't realizing that I needed to step into it and embody it. And so I remember getting crystals because these crystals would heighten your psychic abilities, and I wanted to be psychic, but I wanted to be psychic without doing all of the work. And it's like I was forever grasping at people who were doing things that I wanted to do. So I would go to metaphysical shops because I could see the owners and the people that worked there had something within themselves that I so desperately wanted. And I'm realizing now, like, I was seeing that and experiencing that within them because it's something within me. And that's what I needed to do. I needed to tap into me and my inherent knowing and my intuition, like when I was a child, and just step into it and fully just let go of the external validation. Because at the end of the day, it is the internal validation that gets us where we need to be. And I mean, I even was getting... What was I getting? Like, I was getting moon journals from Spirit Daughter, which are absolutely amazing. I highly recommend them. If you are into moon magic, I just no longer have time to do it with how crazy I am a little bit. But they're beautiful. So I was really stepping into this space of wanting to be intuitive and wanting to be psychic and trying to do it, but I was trying to do it with these external forces. And then in 2020, everything closed down, as we all know. And for me, as a dance teacher, I couldn't teach dance classes anymore. And I have been teaching dance classes since I was 12 years old. It is all I've ever known. I would literally like wake up and dance like all day since I was a child, since I've been dancing. And not being able to take my daughter into dance classes and to get to know the kids and the parents and just kind of have that community that I so badly wanted as a child in my dance studio, I was really sad about it, like really bummed out. I felt like I was doing everything wrong. I felt like I didn't have anything to like give to the world or to other people, or I felt like my job is to help children and to be here for them in this capacity that I didn't have when I was younger, and I can't do that anymore. And my partner was like, well, why don't you take this psychic course and that I've been wanting to do since 2018. So Steph and I met each other through Bree Melanson's course, Psychic Bootcamp. And I have wanted to be a psychic since I was a child. So when everything closed down and I felt like worthless because I wasn't working, I stepped into this role of, okay, I'm going to be a psychic. And I had a lot of money beliefs, like limiting beliefs around money. So I thought, oh my God, I can't believe that I'm spending so much money on a course. But kind of spending that much money on it made me do the work that much more. And I literally signed up for the course on Thursday, and then we had a call on Sunday, and it just happened to be a call where we did like a reading for other people, where we broke out into groups, and I gave this woman like a spot on reading. And then I even did it again with like another person in the group, and I was like, wait, I'm really psychic and it really is this easy. And so through that psychic boot camp course, which is where I've met like lots of people, and Eva we met through there, and Lauren, who we both have had on as guests, and it's just been so magical. But that course was like, okay, you're a psychic, you can do this, you're a medium, how amazing, you can do all of this stuff that you've always wanted to do. And my ego said, all right, you're going to do the course, and then when you're done with the course, you're going to offer psychic readings, and it's going to be like a piece of cake, and people are going to come to you because you're a psychic. And people came to me for psychic readings, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm still practicing. Let me do it for free, or let's buy me a coffee, and I'll give you a reading. And then everything kind of stopped, and it got stagnant, and I felt like, well, what am I supposed to be doing now? But then I took her another course, which is her limiting belief course. And like, it's getting to know your soul and to getting to know that conditioning that, and getting rid of that conditioning. And that's where I started to step into my power. I was really ignoring all of these beliefs that other people put on to me. When I was like 4 or 5 years old, I was told that we have to eat meat. I was told that we don't eat those cows because they're our pets, but like, it's okay to eat these cows. And I held that belief forever. And of course, like, that stems from a bigger belief that is probably like, well, I have to eat meat in order to survive. And also, I have to eat meat in order to receive love, because I'm not receiving love when I'm different from my family or my friends. And now as I'm working through that belief is like, well, okay, why I'm trying to heal my relationship with food because I'm really amazing at binge eating. And it's like, okay, well, why am I binge eating? And it's like, okay, I have a belief that I need to eat meat in order to survive. And then it also can just stem from or go even smaller and like, I have to eat a certain way in order to survive. I have to eat a certain way in order to receive love. Like, it's so easy. And then that is what's not causing, but like, that's the core wound of binge eating. And then at the end of the day, I have to sit there and think, what is my soul trying to learn from this? And let's see if I can get an answer, because it's like my soul is just trying to learn that we are perfect for who we are. We don't need to be anyone else. We came in to be ourselves. We came in to be special. We came in to shine our light. And that's what we're here to do. And that's what my soul is trying to learn from having this belief that I need to eat meat, which is just so amazing and so beautiful. And that was my whole journey of my spiritual awakening. And I'm still in it right now. And I want to leave you with how powerful you are. I cannot stress this enough, how powerful you at your core are. It's like we put ourselves in a box. We're born and we're told, okay, you're a boy, you're a girl, so you have to act this way. You have to dress this way. Like, from before you even are born. Do you know if it's going to be a boy or a girl? Is like the number one question that I got when I was pregnant. We have, like, my daughter, I know everyone, when she was born, everyone was asking if she was going to be a dancer. I was like, she's going to be whatever she wants. But people are putting that belief onto her that she needs to be a dancer. People are putting a belief onto you that you need to be a certain way, that you need to act a certain way. My daughter stood up in a chair once at like around a lot of people, and people were like blown away that I was letting her stand up on a chair. Like, standing right next to her, by the way, because like, so she's safe, so she doesn't fall off the chair. But it was like me, my partner, and her were like being shamed for allowing this 1.5-year-old to explore a chair. Because why? Because society tells us that children are supposed to be seen and not heard. That society tells us we're supposed to sit down and be quiet and follow directions. Like, no. And that's something that I've questioned my whole life. I remember always being so confused as to why I went to school. I did not know why I went to school. And you can tell me all day long, like, oh, I need to learn how to read. I need to learn this and that. And it's like, those are all really great skills. I'm really grateful for learning how to read, but I didn't need any of the conditioning that went along with it. And here I am as an adult being like, I'm gonna undo this. I'm gonna undo all of this societal conditioning that is put on to people. And I really implore you to just find who you are and find your light within, so that way you can step into your fullest power. Because when we are in our fullest power and when we are truly who we are on a soul level, that is when we can change the world. That is literally when miracles happen. It's by what we believe to be true. If you walk around all day believing that you hate people and that the world is a terrible place, guess what? The world and people around you are going to be a terrible place. Let me read this one quote. Not a quote, but I was listening. I was in a meeting the other day, like a spiritual gathering, and I had this download come in. Let me find it. And so this is what happened to me on my spiritual awakening in a nutshell. I tried to find community outside of myself. I started on the outskirts, trying to grab at others who had what I wanted, but was never willing to step into the community that surrounds me. And this keeps coming up for me a lot because I'm finding that a lot of people are reaching out to me looking for the same thing. They're coming to me and looking for all of the answers. And it's something that I'm really working through to create that boundary of, yes, I can do this, but I can only meet you halfway. And with that, I think I'm going to end this episode because I literally could talk forever about how powerful you are and how amazing you are and how important it is to come back to your truth. And I am so grateful for this space that we have all co-created together. I know it's Steph and I who come on every week and talk about things, but it's everyone that's listening that is making a huge difference. And because at the end of the day, we're all just pillars of light. And my pillar of light, my essence of who I am, is radiating and becoming a part of your pillar and your light. And you're taking a part of me within you, and then you're emanating that to the people around you. So we are having such a huge impact. Here I am as like, what, an egoic little 20-year-old being like, I'm going to change the world by working with children. And a few hundred kids, I guess, throughout the whole lifetime of being a dance teacher. But no, like, I'm here to lead by example. I am here to be myself and to be my light in hopes that other people do the same. And so I just fully and wholeheartedly encourage you to do something for you. Do something that is so unconditionally and unapologetically you. Do something different every week and then start being a part of your life. If you're feeling scared right now, or if you're questioning what's going on, go within. Ask yourself. That meditation that we did at the beginning, put that on. And while you're doing like the white light or whatever, the waterfall, ask yourself, what am I supposed to be doing in this moment? What do I need to know? And just trust the answer, because you are not going to find any answers outside of yourself. All of the answers are within. You can ask someone a question all day and searching for an answer, but you're never going to get it. I have someone who I love so much and they are so amazing, and I see them asking everyone around them the same question, yet they never ask themselves. Ask yourself what it is that you need. Ask yourself the hard questions that you're looking for advice from others with. Ask yourself. You know the answers, and trust yourself. And I really am going to finish this episode now. I really hope you enjoyed it. I know it was a little bit long and a lot of me talking about myself. And I also want to mention, I didn't bring this up, but I think it's kind of important. That dance studio and that business that I created, I've given it up. I've given it up because I see that I created it for someone else. I didn't create it for me. So if you're doing something for someone else because someone else expects you to do it, I really implore you and invite you to ask yourself and figure out, is it something that you really want to do? I created a life, an entire life, trying to please those around me. And here I am at 30, 31, stepping into who I am. Who I know, who I've always known I am, but I allowed other people around me to cloud my judgment. All right. They're saying I can end it. I've been getting like kind of the downloads and messages to share. And I was like, okay, is that it? Because I felt like that was a weird spot to talk to you about my dance studio, but I guess it was important. Thank you so much for being a part of this community and being a part of this beautiful space. Please join us on our Telegram group or on our Facebook group. Leave us messages. If you have any questions, I know a lot of times Steph and I will get people who reach out to us in our messages who have questions. Please ask those messages on our Anchor page. If you go to the link in our bio, or we have a link in the show notes that will bring you to our Anchor page where you can record a question, and then we will spend like 10, 15 minutes, however long we want to, just or however long we need to, answering your question. So if you send it in that way, you can get like really a bigger answer and you can get both of our perspectives on it. And it is so much fun and so amazing. And feel free and remember to check out our energy report for the week ahead on our Instagram, on our Telegram, on our Facebook, and on our TikTok as well. I am sending so much love and gratitude and compassion to each and every one of you. Thank you.